When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart.
Hi, this is Chaplains Timothy Burdick
and Stephanie Burdick,
and we'd like to welcome you to the Visions of Love podcast, reaching out to the spiritually and physically blind throughout the world.
Hello and welcome to our podcast. In today's episode, we conclude our interview with Roger Muncheon, founder of Rescued Not Arrested. In this episode, Roger tells us more about how his organization distributes Bibles to prisoners worldwide and helps them to see the love of Jesus Christ. He also tells about a great news clip on his website, which is very inspiring and highly recommended by us. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast, and God bless you.
It's all about you. Thank you.
to contact us, all you need to do is go to mynvm.com.
NVM is an acronym for New Vision Ministries.
If you want to contact us, there's a contact form on the website. Or if you don't know Christ or need prayer, please call 507-369-6861. Thank you.
And now for part two of our interview with Roger Muncheon.
Well, just to give us a little handle on everything that you've told us that you're doing, can you tell us some of your favorite stories that have come out of RNA?
And it's not so difficult to think of one. There's many, actually. There are hundreds.
I bet.
And the book has several of them in the back as testimonials. That the new revised version that I just published last year, you know, we have some great testimonies, even pictures of baptisms of some of those folks. But it's individuals who are broken, who are down and out, who chose to reach out to us. And we're recipient of our study Bible, we're recipient of our services, and have decided to stay committed, accepting Christ. We even baptized them, and now they have, you know, stabilized the foundation, stay sober, stay connected to the church family, and now they're part of our volunteer force, and going back to prison to give back to those that were in the same place that they were. So that's the best story of transformation. And I think it starts 2,000 years ago with Jesus, you know, Jesus taking the misfits in every one of those disciples. When we really investigate, we see they were the messed up of the crew of in that community, and he takes those misfits and transforms their lives and sends them on a mission to bring more hope and help to others around them. And so this is the great commission work of Matthew 19:20, making disciples, baptizing them, and teaching them to obey. So it's kind of a cycle that's passing on one to another, and that's kind of how the mission of the Christian works, is just continue to share the good news of the gospel with as many people as we can.
Well, is the complexion of prison ministry changing at all, or is it pretty much the same?
Well, when I was an incarcerator, I learned a lot of what to do and what not to do as an inmate, because I got firsthand experience witnessing how the prison ministries handled certain things when they came in to see us. And there was some good and there was some bad. So I believe God even allowed me to structure and put together this mission of Rescue Not Arrested from my experience of being an inmate and a recipient of many different organizations who were trying to come and bring us hope. And it was kind of short-lived because I think it was incomplete, you know. And one of the reentry components never existed back in those days when I was serving time. So they would just come in and give us encouragement and hype us up and do some kind of a emotional invitation. You know, they would say, do a sinner's prayer, raise your hand, and they would get excited and leave. But I realized all of those was really superficial. It never really was sticking, because I would see the same person raise their hand with every different program that would come in and give their life to the Lord over and over and over. So people were really confused. So I decided to do away with the emotional component of invitation and just, you know, cut the chase and go straight to Acts church mentality. Teach them the word, disciple them, educate them, give them a Bible, let them understand, challenge them to learn and ask questions. That's why we mentor them. That's why we provide studies. That's why we provide a study Bible. We don't want emotional decisions. It may have worked decades ago because of, you know, people's culture and mindset where their word was good, but it's really not as effective in today's days where you raise your hand and we guarantee that person say it, because I can tell you a lot of times it's just emotional, good intention, you know, hand raised, but then by the time they're back in the unit, they forget what just happened. There's no follow-up. There's no understanding of commitment. So we as a ministry, we're really unique in this area. We don't go with the norm of, you know, emotional invitations. We just keep loving them, challenging them, and telling them that we invite them to commit their life to Christ, but that it takes time to investigate, learn, and be educated and understand what they're committing to. That's why we provide them the tools to do just that. And then once they're ready and understand that we want to baptize them as they, you know, fulfill a commitment to Christ, and of course teaching them to obey, that fulfills the Great Commission there. So in that aspect, we as a prison ministry, we are unique. because most are still using those emotional methods of 100 years ago. It really is only about 100 years. I learned Charles Finney started that.
Yes.
Emotional invitation by sinner's prayer and raise of hand. And I've learned really since Jesus that was really not necessarily a thing, even though some, you know, it's a controversial topic. And I agree to disagree with our brothers and sisters in Christ in leadership. But I just personally, as an admin, I didn't see that as an effective method anymore. Because people's word is no longer as good as it used to be, you know, 40, 50, 60 years ago.
The main thing is loving people, right?
You love them, but you also, you know, teach them the truth. This is the truth that sets them free, and ultimately it's their choice, their decision to make a commitment. We can't do
exactly
that. But to be truthful in love is important, and you need that balance. Because you could have too much love and love to one side, and no discipline and no truth, you know, and that goes nowhere. So I think it needs to be balanced. You don't want to have the extremes. You don't have nothing but love, 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 you know, on one side with no truth and no discipline, no accountability. And you can't have too much discipline, accountability, no love. So I think both of them need to come in the middle where you have love and truth, love with accountability.
That's true. What if our listeners say, hey, Roger, this sounds great. Where do I sign up? How do I get involved?
Well, you know, it starts with a conversation. I'm pretty old school. Because we have a no staff pay policy, I don't have your usual staff members, receptionist, administration, office building. My cell is my receptionist, and I handle all the calls. I like to meet someone, have a discussion with them. There is a protocol. We've learned which convictions that we have as to what the Bible calls for, and we understand the differences and viewpoints of the Bible, the schools of thoughts that many have, and we can again agree, disagree with them, but that's the first thing I want to establish with them in love, and I want to see exactly where they're at. We do require their pastors to be involved, so an individual must be a committed member of a church, fully immersed in baptism, and their church pastor has to be willing to sponsor them, putting a letter together of support on their church letter. And so those are some first steps moving on to the next level. But I just want to let them know that, because if that can't be established, then we could have a communication. I would love to invite them to one of our church campuses. Our church does have 20 locations in the valley. And if they don't have a church, I'd love to connect them to it. If they do, I'd love to meet their pastor and have this conversation and see if it's a good fit for them, and then we can move forward to the next steps. And if it's not, I could probably recommend another prison ministry that may be a better fit for them and their school of thought and for their convictions, because we don't really want to push our convictions on anybody else. We want everybody to be comfortable where they're at. But again, we're always doing it with love and helping people connect to prison ministry if that's what they desire to do. It may not necessarily be a good fit for us, but that doesn't mean it can't be a good fit for one of our sister prison ministries.
Yes. I was going to say, Roger, you have a great book out there. We've read it, and it's very inspiring. Can you tell us any more of the details about that?
Well, one of my volunteers and a friend, his name is Joe Gamage, he was willing to write the first book, which is now 10 years old. But since then, I have revised and updated because I felt it was necessary to bring our international growth and expansion after COVID and everything that's been going on, and how God has continued to sustain this ministry and not only survive but thrive throughout COVID years. So last year I wrote one myself while I had a ghostwriter to help me, and my daughter is one of my helpers too. She co-edited, and we even have a picture in that book where my daughter was an infant in my hand while I was in prison. That's the same daughter now who is the editor of that book. And so both of them are available. I don't really sell those in mass. We don't make a ton of money because we're not really focused on selling the book. I buy a bulk of them and I donate to inmates all over the world. But it is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble for convenience for any country who wants to have access to it, or even the Kindle is available. So they would really want the revised, updated version now on the system to catch up to date. But yeah, it's something that I felt was important to share. But my prayer is God used my story to impact somebody else's story to bring God more glory. That's the whole idea of the testimony.
what's your website and how can people donate if they want to take, you know, like a baby step?
Well, you know, check out our website, not only for donating purposes, but I'd like for you guys to see a Channel 15 news clip that's on the page of our website. You just scroll down to the bottom.
And so shows, where do they go?
They would go to www.rescuednotarrested.org. And we pop up on Google when you put rescued, not arrested. It's very easily found. And you can see our custom cover Bibles. But again, I would like for you to see the Great Commission is summed up in a 3-minute news clip by Channel 15. And we were baptizing seven inmates in a maximum custody jail at 4th Avenue Jail in Phoenix, Arizona. And I think it's breathtaking to be able to see a Great Commission come alive through a local news channel and talking about Jesus and baptism. I think it's a rare scene because, you know, I think it was a miracle opportunity for us to, not too many local churches interested to talk about Jesus or even Great Commission or even show baptisms on TV. But I think you'll really be impressed.
Well, that is great. We watched it, and I can't say enough about it. That is great.
And, you know, and also, you know, just to assure, you know, donations are appreciated. We've never fundraised. We never really asked for money. We keep trusting God. He seems to supply it. You know, I know that it's not the norm. It's not the way nonprofits do things in the United States, but I figured trusting God has been the way I've survived life, and
That's good.
And then we just keep choosing to trust God, the thick and thin. And because every fund is used for Bibles, we just make a decision to what the monies are that are coming in each year, and then we buy that many Bibles. So if we have a lot of money, we buy a lot of Bibles. If we have little money, we buy little Bibles. So it never really gets in the way of our church services, our baptisms, or our mentorship. All that is done for free. So our ministry is focused on never shutting down because of lack of money. Money is just a tool that purchases the Bibles and the shipping of it. But as
yes.
far as actual service, that happens. We just total up, we do about 45 church services a week in Arizona State, in the federal, state, and county jails, and with all the volunteers that we have. So we are a pretty large operation, and that's not including all the letters, the 400 letters that comes in every month from inmates from 5,000 prisons nationwide that we address through letter mentors who write back to them. So we're just blessed that God will use us that way to reach so many people around the globe.
What are some specific needs that we can pray for you about?
Well, I cherish the number one request for prayer for me is wisdom and discernment to continue staying in the course, pleasing God at all times in all areas of my life, as a father, as a husband, 24-year marriage, as a soldier and a leader, the ambassador for Christ, overseeing the ministry, and as a friend to many. So wisdom and discernment I cherish daily. Thank you all in advance for your prayers.
Well, we thank you for being here, Roger. We really appreciate it because, you know, we try and do what Jesus said about serving what he called the least of these. And we appreciate what you're doing. I just wanted to tell everybody, thank you for listening. This is the Visions of Love podcast with New Vision Ministries. Our website is mynvm.com. I'd like to tell you about my book. It's called The God Who Enables. Pick up a copy, give one to a friend, whatever. But it's on Amazon.com. Thank you again very much, Roger. We appreciate it. And everybody have a good day, and God bless you.
Can I pray and close us out of here?
Sure.
Father God, we just thank you so much for this day, for Timothy and his team, his wife who helps him out. And I thank you for all the listeners. And I pray that you would bring healing to everyone's life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Put a fire in their belly, Lord, to to selflessly look for opportunities in their churches, in their communities, to serve the least of these, and every time they get a chance. I thank you for this ministry and for this opportunity to network and bring you more glory, honor, and praise. May you bless Timothy and his wife in ways that they can't imagine, and may you bless every person out there as they hear these words, guided by the Holy Spirit, to be touched and healed and loved and graced to remember how Christ loves us all in spite of where we've been and how messed up the past looks like, to be able Amen. To dust ourselves up and move forward. In the name of Jesus, we pray all this. Amen.
You've enjoyed this, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless.
Thank you, and God bless you.